Now, True Talk with JU Dolphins head coach Jordan Mincy on 1010XL. Here's the voice of the Dolphins, Scott Mancy.
And welcome in to True Talk with Coach Mincy here on 1010XL. It's Monday night, and Jacksonville is coming off of another great home week. Jacksonville picking up two home wins over the course of the last week against Eastern Kentucky on Wednesday night, and then a really big one at home on Saturday to beat Liberty for the first time in program history in 9 tries, and then move that winning streak at Swisher Gym to 12 straight. Dolphins now 12-0 in the friendly confines at home. Friendly for Jacksonville, right, Coach? Not so friendly for the opponents.
Absolutely. You know, I was excited with our guys, the way they performed. You know, it was a family environment all around. You know, you talk about just our team, but just also our crowd as well. You know, you come into a place like Swisher, and, I mean, if it's not Falcony staff, if it's not the student base, it's our players, it's our coaches, it's everybody. You know, we talk about JU as a whole, but it's a family. And so I'm glad we were able to get that victory, but I was glad we were able to do that for the JU family.
Can you tell me about the trenches? That's what these guys are saying right now. Like, welcome to the trenches. This is us in the trenches. What does that mean, and how are these guys embodying that?
So, you know what? We correlate the trenches. You know, obviously we have, you know, the dolphin, the water, you know, different areas. And so when you type in the trenches, a lot of times it's the deepest, darkest places in the ocean.
Yeah. And so Mariana Trench.
Yeah. And so we always talk about, you know, this is the trenches. When you come, you know, everybody can't swim in the dark. Everybody can't survive in the darkest places. And so when you come here, only the strong survive. And for our guys, that's our mentality. You know, we come here, we practice every day, we put our heart and soul in that place, in Swisher. And we talk about, like, hey, when guys come in the trenches, I don't care if it's the Los Angeles Lakers, it's going to be hard for them to perform in here. And that's the mentality we have. And it makes it even harder of a place to play when you have unbelievable student environment and an unbelievable fan base.
All right, let's go back to Wednesday here first and look back at that Eastern Kentucky game. First matchup against them this season, a team that plays a very unique style, up and down. They're trying to get up shots. They're trying to gamble a little bit on defense and create some easy ones. And I honestly probably couldn't have been much different as far as the preparation of the week between them and Liberty in styles. But for that group, the last first-time opponent of the year, how did you all approach that game, and where did you see the results at the end of it and what you were able to find success in?
EKU is hard to prepare for. You know, you can't simulate their pressure and understanding of areas to attack. You know, we told our guys going into the game, there's not necessarily a play that you're going to be able to run. You know, it's going to be a multitude of different situations that you're going to be put into, whether it's guys being able to attack off the bounce, our bigs being able to press on the back end, I mean, be able to score on the back end of the press. So you never really could put them in a direct situation that they were going to be able to see. And I think our guys handled that on the fly, being able to make decisions, being able to value the ball, and being able to basically execute versus their pressure. But they do a great job. It's hard to prepare for. Definitely, you know, we talked about the staff. That unique style is going to be hard to prepare for, especially in the tournament setting.
Yeah.
You know, you got different opponents you have to prepare for. Well, they're going to be a tough out in the tournament just because of that style of play, and being able to know that, you know, if you're not handling the ball and it's a turnover fest, then those guys are going to always be in the game, especially the way they shoot a three ball. And so for us, we're just glad with our guys. They're able to make plays down stretch.
Raw numbers, you look and you see the turnovers were up based off of the season averages in that game. They were able to turn those into points because that's what they do. But it wasn't in the 20s. They weren't making the majority of their hay off of that. What is the key to, and this group seems to, since I can't remember off the top of my head, it was the first or the second game where there was a little bit of hairiness when it came to handling pressure. But since then, I feel like this group has done a nice job. How do you approach preparing for that, and what is the key to handling a pressure defense situation?
I think the level of experience these guys have had. You know, we've had a game where I believe our high has been 28 turnovers in the game.
Yeah, UCF was a little lopsided.
Oh, man, lopsided. And so we talked to our guys, look, if you cut down just 6 of those turnovers, we probably win that game.
Yeah.
And so being able to have that experience level, multiple guys being able to play in those type of environments, you know, throughout the course of the season, they're able to – adjust. They're able to understand, hey, this is what coach wants. These are certain situations where we can attack, and then we know we have to value the ball and be able to, you know, kind of scale back on our aggressiveness. And so I told Kevin Nolan, he had took a quick shot in the EKU game, and I told him I could see his growth. You know, he looked over to me and he said, hey, put his hand up and say, coach, my bad. And so for him to be able to recognize that and to be able to slow the tempo of the game down and make sure our next shot was a quality shot. I believe he came to a ball screen, he hit a big three that put us back up double digit figures. But it shows me that our guys are starting to understand. They're starting to see the game that the way that our staff and myself see the game. And so that's always a good thing.
Yeah, that game was defined by a couple of runs there, right? They start off 4-0, and then next thing you know, 12 straight points rattled off by JU and never really looked back at that point. They threatened a few times, but you described it. Their style is going to keep them in games because three is always greater than two, and they're going to take enough to where they're going to make some. Nobody misses every three-pointer, especially if you build your style around that. You knew the number was going to look probably kind of high as far as makes, but you just made – I said it's artists, and you can tell me whether or not I'm way off base here, but the important thing is making sure that percentage is low, right? You don't want them making them at a high clip because you know they're going to make some.
Yes. You know, a lot of times we like a low possession game. They like a high possession game, man. So being able to make sure that even with those guys shooting a certain amount of threes, we wanted to make sure they were contested threes. So we just kept telling our guys, hey, look, they're going to shoot threes. That's their recipe for success. We have to make sure that those are not open threes, that somebody has some type of hand being in their face when they let those threes go. And so we were able to take care of the three-point line. And then offensively, I think the thing that really helped us, we shot the ball extremely well from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. And so when you take away their threes and you're able to attack and draw fouls and handle that pressure, I think those two things were a great mix of how we were able to come out with a win.
I know you brought it up before, the new facility being open and the multitude of hoops available for guys to practice their free throws on. You go 17 of 17 from the stripe in that game. Only the fourth time in the illustrious history of this program that a JU team has gone perfect from the stripe with a minimum of 15 attempts. And the first time since off the top of my head, I believe it was the 14-15 season. And not something that's happening on an everyday basis, and that was impressive to see because that was another opportunity, right? Like, if you get fouled, you get to the line, and they were trying to extend that game, make it last a long time at the end, and really, if you take care of business at the free throw line down the stretch, you can really take a team's heart out of it.
You can. You know, being able to have only two baskets, and now you have eight baskets that at your disposal, you're able to put, you know, more time into your free throws. You know, instead of saying, hey, guys, we got 2 minutes, rotate, let's try to get as many free throws as we can on these two baskets. Now we're able to say, okay, two guys to a basket, 2 minutes on the clock, and now those guys have more reps. And we're able to also play free throw games that we wanted to do, but, you know, you just didn't have those resources. And so, just like I said, we're thankful again to have the opportunity to have a practice facility. President Koss, along with Alex Rigger Gilbert, our AD, they really blessed our guys with the ability to have, you know, such a big time facility. And so it's worked out in our favor. Our guys are able to come in here and work on their game different times throughout the course of the day. And the free throw shooting is just a great example of that.
Well, free throw shooting wasn't quite as illustrious in the win over Liberty, but down the stretch when free throws needed to be made, really as a whole in the second half, the free throw shooting was better. But then outside of that one kind of hold your breath moment where Kevion missed the second half of the one-and-one situation, but he goes to the line with a chance to put the team on top and then ice the game, makes all four free throws. He and the rest of his teammates made some big ones. Tyrese Davis completing a three-point play, Giassi Powell completing a three-point play. Especially with a team that doesn't shoot the traditional three ball at a super high clip all the time, or at least doesn't attempt a ton of them, to be able to get them the old-fashioned way by converting those free throws goes a long way toward help balancing out that disparity sometimes from behind the arc.
It went a huge way. You know, those guys were able to step up, make timely free throws, as you just said, Scott, and to be able to know that, you know, you got certain guys. Rob Brown, even though he went to the free throw line, he was 1-for-3. You know, I looked at him after, you know, his second miss. I said, hey, Rod, slow down. I've seen him in practice. He's one of our most accountable guys when it comes to the free throw line. And, you know, he took a deep breath and he knocked it in. And then Kevion going to the stripe and missing one, that's a shocker to us.
Right,
everybody's looking around like, whoa, what's going on here? And but for the most part, You know, those guys, you know, there's a lot of emotions in the game. And so Jordan Davis, you know, he misses one. He's a guy who usually goes there and knocks him down. And so, like I said, I was just proud of their level of focus and being able to, you know, key moments, knock those free throws down. And basically, like I said, we don't shoot a lot of threes, but being able to get and ones, that goes a long way.
Defense was a big story of the second half. They go from shooting over 50% in the first half, Liberty does, to shooting under 30% from the field in the second half. Darius McGee has 26 at halftime, finishes the game with 30, makes one second-half field goal, a pair of free throws, and looked largely uncomfortable as he turned the ball over on the last regular possession of the game, missed a three on their final possession of the game, was part of kind of a fumbling of the ball on the third to last possession of the game, and was really taken out of his rhythm that he found himself in. Some of it, I know it can be demoralizing watching a player like that just make crazy shot after crazy shot in that first half. I know you made some adjustments, but is some of it just being like, guys, we got to just stay the course, stay focused on the game plan, because if you keep making it difficult and he keeps making these shots, nothing you can do but tip your hat, because they were some hard shots he made there in that first half.
Darius McGee is an exceptional talent. You know,
unbelievable.
You talk about someone who's able to put up, you know, those points per game and the shooting distance. Like we told our guys going to game, he has NBA range.
Yeah. And he's smaller than you and me.
Oh, he's smaller than you and I. And, you know, but he plays like he's a 6'10 Kevin Durant type player.
Yeah.
And so
it's amazing.
He just has that impact. You know, he has exceptional speed, exceptional distance on the shot, and he's such a hard matchup. You know, from our first game, we had that experience. I believe he was just coming off Florida Gulf Coast where he had 48.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, we knew he was going to be a challenge. And, you know, in the first half, you know, he led the same way, you know, he started versus down there at Liberty. And so we knew we had to give him a different look. And so we just tried to put some size on him. Tyrese Davis did a great job using his size, you know, being a little bit more physical, not necessarily fouling, but just being more physical, you know, being in his way when he tried to cut, not really having separation on those screens, and then make sure he used his length when he was putting up shots to make sure, you know, he kind of, you know, made that jumper a little bit harder. But, you know, Darius McGee, like I said, he did a great job making plays, and he's such a dynamic talent, and he really helps Liberty go.
And then he a lot of denials on the catches, too. Like, it was hard for him to get the ball in his hands in the second half. They kept mixing up who was handling up top to try and figure out ways to free him up on the wing or up top. And that length, I mean, Tyrese is 6'6" on the roster. His arms are longer than that. I mean, it is difficult to get the ball around him a lot of times. I mean, I thought he was sensational. He's been kind of a defensive stopper for you at times this year. I mean, you've gone into the huddle, right? And you've said, listen, like, we need to slow down blank and given him that task. And he's more often than not been able to rise to the occasion there.
It's funny, you know, about 3 days, maybe a day after EKU game, you know, Tyrese comes to my office. He knocks on my door. He comes in my office and he says to me, hey, coach, who's guarding McGee? And I said to him, probably going to start Jordan on him, you know, speed, quickness. He goes, well, I want to guard him. And I said, well, I don't know about that. You know, we'll see. And he's like, nah, coach, I want to guard him. And so his mindset, the guy that he's turned into over the last five games, it has been a tremendous turnaround as far as he's a catch and shoot three-point shooter. You know, every time he gets an open look, you know, we fully expect him to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he always wants to guard, you know, the best player for the opposing team. And he never really, you know, cries or complains about it. He goes, hey, coach, he's killing us. Put me on him. And so going into halftime, that was one of the first things he said to me. He looked at him and said, hey, coach, I got him. Put me on. And, you know, to be able to show his level of focus, his level of intensity on the defensive end, you know, he was a huge part of why we've been able to win games, especially at Swisher.
Yeah, I mean, he's shooting 45% from distance, and one of the biggest shots last night, too, was a tough one where he had to create it off the bounce, a step-back three-pointer. They ended up reviewing it. I was like, I don't even know why this is in doubt when they called it a two on the floor. It took him 1 second to review it and realize he was well behind the arc and hit that big three while Kevion Nolan was sitting on the bench catching a breather, and for the offense to be able to find ways without him. It feels like there's been some growth throughout the course of the season in that regard, too. We know what kind of a talent Kevion is with the ball in his hands, when he's even out there to serve as a distraction at times for a defense. But for him to be on the bench, sitting there, not because of foul trouble or anything else, but because he's a human being who needs a rest every once in a while, and for the offense to be able to find ways to score without him, I feel like that's been major over the course of the last couple of weeks in helping this team to the success. Only one loss in the last, I think it's six games now.
Yes, you know, we talk about win by committee, and the one of the guys who's really, you know, stepped up for us, he was hurt by foul trouble yesterday, was Bryce Worker.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's a guy who's really took on that scoring load. But then also I just want to talk about Jordan Davis. You know, he made a couple of aggressive plays. I thought, you know, some of those drives could have been fouls. Mm-hmm. It could have gone either way, and you're looking at a guy, instead of him having 8 points, he has 12 or 13. And so I think, you know, we have multiple guys, Giassi Powell, even George Pridgett, you know, he's playing limited minutes, but those guys have confidence, and they know our staff and myself have confidence in them to come in and make plays. And like even Rob Brown, you know, he comes in limited minutes, and you look at his stat sheet and you say 7 points, 4 rebounds, a guy that plays, you know, 20 minutes, he's 3 for 3 from the field.
Yeah.
So if he does what we think he's going to do from the free throw line, he ends up with 9 points.
Yeah.
And so, like we always talk about, just win by committee. Everybody, it takes a village to be able to win these games. And I think our guys are starting to develop that mentality. We all win, and it doesn't matter who gets the credit.
Yeah, it feels like Rod's become an automatic 2 to 3 field goals a game in his time off the bench, and the shot fake, and he's able to convert down there. And it's great to see him, and really great to see all these guys you mentioned. And it you know, as opposed to being overly reliant on one, really down. I mean, I'm writing the recap after the game yesterday, and I just keep typing a different name. For every big basket down the stretch, it was a different person who was able to hit one. Giassi hits one. Tyrese hits one. Of course, Kevion hits one. We saw Bryce have a big second half after playing only 2 minutes in the first half, and some tough luck for him. But he said, hey, listen, get me going. Like, give me the ball and let me do work. And even nobody may be playing with any more confidence than he is right now on the offensive end. He's just – I know Artis loves him because of how he's kind of throwback. He's got post moves. He's a little Kevin McHale-esque. Yes. He can wine and dine down there, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him go to work.
Bryce's growth over the last month has been exceptional. You know, that guy, he puts time into the gym. Him, Tyrese Davis, and Kevion Nolan are extremely close. And to see those three guys who were able to stay here, you know, they put their heart and soul into this program to invest and make sure that they want us to win games and be successful. And so to see, you know, Bryce, the growth he has, the level of confidence he's playing with, it's nothing but love for him as a head coach and just as a fan of the game to see, you know, what he's turned into and to see where his future goes.
He is head coach Jordan Mincy. I'm Scott Manzi. You're listening to True Talk with Coach Mincy here on this Monday night on 1010XL. We're not at Island Wing Company tonight. We're taking the evening off live so that folks can celebrate Valentine's Day. As much as you and I would love to sit there and share some wings on Valentine's Day, I'm sure that that the significant others would prefer that we weren't sitting out there doing that live. But we love the folks at Island Wing. They've been great to us, and we hope to see you back out there as we return. Next week, we will get back to Island Wing Company next Monday night, be live from 6 to 7. We hope to see you out there to join us as well when we do that. We'll step aside. When we come back, we'll visit with one of the players, a guy whose name we actually haven't said yet on this program, which is pretty amazing because he is such a key piece to this program as well. His name is Osai Osifo, and he joins us on the other side. You're listening to True Talk with Coach Mincy
on 1010XL.
Welcome back to True Talk with Coach Mincy here on this Monday evening on 1010XL. We are not live on location this week at Island Wing, taking a week off Valentine's Day. Some folks have heard of that one. They tend to celebrate it more often than not. Osai Osifo, junior forward, a transfer in, first year in the program. Osai, do you have a Valentine's Day memory that stands out to you from your time?
Oh, Valentine's Day memory. No, man, I guess I'm too young. Valentine's Day memories, I don't have many.
Did you all do the whole, like, pass out candy in school and the little individual Valentine's things at any point?
Yeah. High school, definitely. My dad had like a little pop up Valentine with my future prom date. And I remember when I was younger, in elementary, we we used to have to make cards for our moms. Valentine's Day, yeah, but this one really goes out to my mom. This year, every year goes out to my mom.
There you go. There you go. The Valentine for one and for all, your mom. That's always a good one. Yeah. It's a safe one, and I'm sure she appreciates it as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we've gotten the Valentine's Day talk out of the way, let's dive into a little bit of basketball. Osai joining us here in the second segment of True Talk, and you are one of the guys whose name popped up really early in the process when head coach Jordan Mincy got this job here at JU, and then you had already entered the portal, and you told the story plenty of times. I won't make you tell every detail of it again about how it was just an obvious fit. So since you came here, I was kind of wondering about like your experience already with Coach Mincy. Like, how were you able to kind of help the other guys, whether it was the returners to this program or the new players into the program, adapt to coach? Because you were really the only guy that had any idea of what he was about, at least having seen him from a coaching perspective already.
Right. And that was with the guys, assimilating the guys to coach. I think coach did a good job of that himself. This summer, we came in, I came in really early. I came in on Mother's Day, May 9th, with a couple of other guys. Coach really spent a lot of time with individual meetings and just team bonding exercises. The guys, I mean, I got to learn a different side of him too. I got to learn more in depth about him too, but the guys got to learn Coach Mincy really quickly, put that forefront. And then when the freshmen came for summer B, there was just more team bonding, more meetings, more on-court stuff. And, you know, getting to know him was very easy. It was very open. And so, you know, I just had a couple of stories to share with them. You know, how about Coach Agnes last year? Everybody knows Coach is funny. And, you know, just a couple few memories I have with him and our relationship. But I also had a few things to learn about Coach and his new position. And, you know, I didn't just speak too soon. I just took the time to kind of get to know him more and respect him more for the position he's in. So it's been good. Yeah, the guys got to, they got to know him as well as I did this year.
What's the one thing that you've noticed from him now that we're kind of, you know, toward the back half of the season here, toward the end? You've seen him in that assistant coaching role. You said you were learning about how he would operate in this new role as a head coach. What's something that you've noticed that he does now that he's in the head chair?
Super focused. You know, I guess I don't know. I guess I didn't really see it, or he didn't give me the opportunity to notice coach's attention to detail last year. You know, I'll see it during scout reporting days and stuff like that, but super detail oriented, super focused, and I love that because that's how I do it. I want to do my things too, so it's good to have that as a head coach and a model. But yeah, coach is laser sharp, focused, like an edge. It's, you know, it's insane. Really wants to win. Really wants to do something. It stands by his word. So yeah, that's what I really got to see this year. And really, when the season started, came out, you know, slowly when we started in the training camp and. Now as things are heating up, it just gets more and more intense, focused, more meticulous details.
Osai Osifo, a transfer forward from Florida, with us here in his first year with the program at Jacksonville. And it's been a strong season for this team so far. I mean, I know you all are far from accomplishing all of your team goals that you've set out for this season, but to this point in the year, where do you feel, if you could evaluate kind of how this team has performed to this point, how do you feel this team has acquitted itself?
You know, I think as far as we've performed this year, I don't know, kind of too early to say. Still hungry for a lot more wins and, you know, really hungry to play the rest of the season. Our standard and goals were really high, and not just because we just wanted to. We worked really hard, and we've missed some landmarks that we could have reached, but we still have more in front of us. So, you know, I wouldn't really be able to tell at the end of the season looking when we look back, but teams, I think we've been doing really good so far. We've been staying together, and we got some things we can still accomplish ahead of us. Yeah.
What about you? Where do you feel – you know, your role has increased, of course, this year here at JU. Where do you feel like you've grown the most this season?
I think I've just grown in maturing and handling situations, like leadership situations. I feel like that can help me in almost any field in life. Just taking on responsibility is different here and more than what I expected. And it's good for my own development, kind of people managing skills and just staying focused. Like I said, reflecting the laser focus that Coach Missy has onto the team and, you know, sharing that and kind of like investing in other guys and make sure everybody's staying the course is how I've really grown this year. And it's been good. Skill-wise, too, I've gained a lot. The coaches have really invested in me and, you know, everybody's game and kind of expanding and getting better.
All right, let's look a little bit into how things have gone, you know, as far as where we've seen conference play kind of develop. I feel like this group has managed to adjust well throughout the course of the season, and I don't want to call you a second-half team, but mm-hmm. but there's something about this team when they come out of the locker room in the second half, you all are able to adjust and a lot of times find ways to maybe erase a deficit or put a team away if you've already got a lead. What is it about halftime? How are you all able to kind of identify and figure out what you need to clean up and attack that stuff in the second half?
Well, yeah, I mean, halftime, I know we've had some big leads during the season coming into the locker room, but the conference play especially, I think some teams scout us and some teams we scout other teams. And going into the game, we have a plan and we have some base rules on how we want to execute. And it's going to be tough. Every conference game is going to be tough. So the margin is always thin coming in at halftime. But once we see and once we're able to, you know, kind of get a feel for the game, coming in at halftime, talk about it. There's a lot of talking that goes in the locker room with the players about what we think we should do better, who's losing their cool, who should keep their head. And, man, once we just, like, kind of, like, reconnect after the chaos of the first half, it's kind of like, okay, we're good. No matter who we play, we're good. And we see, you know, up, you know, we just come out and we're like, okay, we know how to execute.
Coming off a big win at home over Liberty on Saturday evening, that's the 12th home win already this season, 12-0 in Swisher Gym. I've asked other players about it, but I want to get your perspective on it. What about playing at home, playing at Swisher stands out and is unique and allows you all to find so much success?
Oh, playing at Swisher is the trenches. Swisher's where we put in all our time and work. And, you know, we're blessed with the new practice facility. But to be honest, for this year especially, I think it was kind of special. For the first year that coach, we didn't have no practice facility. We spent every single blood, drop, tear, injury in Swisher. You know, rainy days, cold days, that historic gym, we put in a lot of work in there. So, you know, when it comes to crunch time and you think of all the suicides we ran in there and all the team bonding, kickball we played in there, Swisher, that's our home. So it's like we can't give that up to nobody. Nobody's coming in here and just doing whatever. You know, we're going to have our way.
I mean, it's been a special environment all season to watch the way you all value protecting that home floor. And it certainly feels like it. And maybe no, I mean, there have been a lot of tests this year, but with the number one team in the league coming in on Saturday and finding a way to erase a deficit, I mean, it kind of combines the last two questions there. How you all handle things at halftime and how you were able to play so well at home. And it was special to see all that come together to get a big win over Liberty on Saturday evening. But the work is far from done. I mean, four games left, you said it's still too early to assess this team at this point in time. And a lot of people would sit there and say, well, there's only four games left in the regular season. But I know that there's still so much ahead of you all when you're looking into what you can accomplish. Whether that is accomplishing some benchmarks as far as wins, whether that's, you know, improving seeding for the conference tournament and then, of course, getting into the conference tournament and taking care of business there. Where are you all as far as management of this team at this point? I know you're tired. I know you're beat up. I know at this point of the year, it's more about maintaining than it is about a lot of other things. But how are you all taking care of each other, yourselves, and making sure you're ready to go and have as much to put forward there over this course of the last couple of weeks?
Right. I don't think we're coming in as much for a lot of physical activity. We're having a lot of film days and coming in to, you know, just to talk basketball. So a lot of mental days is helping just to recover. You know, we all enjoy basketball, so there'll never be enough just talking about basketball. Nobody's going to get fatigued doing that. And we're just going to come in and, you know, talk about game plans, come in, kind of stretch, get the treatment we need, and run through some things on the court. But that's pretty much been the formula for us to maintain everybody's bodies. And, you know, not everybody's 100%, but we're gonna push through it. We're going to push through whatever we got to play.
He is junior forward Osayo Sifo joining us here on True Talk with Coach Mincy on this Monday night on 1010XL. And I want to get a little perspective into what is life like. Life is like as one of these bigs. There's four of you that kind of rotate through. You, Mike Marsh, are the regular starters, and then Bryce Workman, Rod Brown, regular guys off the bench. But each of you brings kind of a different thing to the table. I mean, are you like the four musketeers, or how do you all figure out who is what and handles what role?
Yeah, no, the bigs, man, the bigs are just four savages, man. There's no negotiation roles, man. We just go out there and we kill whoever comes off the bench, whoever comes off. It's all the same mentality, just come in the game and handle business. JU this year, the bigs, and our identity being tough, we gotta set that forefront, because we're allowed to be physical. You know, the guards gotta be more crafty. We're allowed to be physical. We're allowed to go hit rebounds, jump balls. And so, yeah, we just go out there and, you know, whoever's hot, feeling it, just go out there and kill. And there's no hate amongst the bigs, just love. And we just, I think, everybody brings something different. Mike's a 6'10 monster. He can pass. You know, he's top. You know, he gets me and Bryce Robs and passing skills. Bryce can score anybody. So, you know, I got to come on this end. I'm getting better defensively guarding Bryce. But, you know, on the other end, you know, he's got to box me out, make sure I don't get a rebound. So we all just sharpen each other's skills. Rob just has never-ending energy, physical. So, you know, he's giving us all, like, you know, some perspective. Whenever we face another team, too, there's no type of big we haven't played. So it's kind of like, okay, we're just going to guard him like this. We're going to run this. So yeah, big's been holding it down.
It's been awesome to see. Like every night it feels like one of you guys is stepping up or two and finding ways to impact the game at different levels. And I know, unfortunately for you, you've dealt with some limited minutes over the last few games. But when you're out there, you're making the most of those opportunities, because I know that you value every single minute you're able to be out there on the floor. And heck, looking forward to seeing what the rest of the season has in store. A big one coming up on Wednesday at Stetson, and then at home again on Saturday against Kennesaw State, and should be a rocking venue on Saturday night again at Swisher Gym, and should be fun. All right, he's Osayo Sifo. He's a forward on this Jacksonville men's basketball team that continues to find ways to win games and get better throughout the course of the latter part of this season. Sure. So appreciate you joining us here today, Osai. And
appreciate that, Mr. Mads.
We'll see you out there soon.
Yes, sir.
See you. All right. He is Osayo Sifo joining us here on True Talk with Coach Mincy on 1010XL. Back here on True Talk with Coach Mincy on this Monday evening. Happy Valentine's Day to all of the Dolphin fans listening out here on 1010XL. Alongside head coach Jordan Mincy, I'm Scott Manzi. Just got done with our conversation with forward Osayo Sifo, the Florida transfer. And, of course, he was probably the name that was the one most talked about, I think, Coach, when you got this job originally, because Osai was the first transfer to commit. I mean, it almost felt like it was a simultaneous. Like you accept the job, and next thing you know, there's Osai pledging to come to JU in the transfer portal after playing with you for a year at Florida. And he has been, you know, a pleasure from my end to deal with. I think he's been one of the best on and off court leaders for this group as well, and in an opportunity for him to see more extended playing time this year. Still kind of raw as a basketball player, but he's been great, especially in certain stretches. I think back to that North Florida game and how huge he was with several guys sitting on the bench with foul trouble. He goes for a 13-13 double-double and has really come into his own in this opportunity that has been presented to him here at Jacksonville.
Scott, I think you used the right word when you used the word leader. You know, he's the leader of our team, not only on the court, but off the court. His work ethic, the way that he approaches life, is 100%. You know, you're never going to hear anybody say that Osai does anything half speed or doesn't put his full heart into anything, whether it's his academics or performing on the basketball court. And so to be able to have, you know, not a basketball player, but a human being like Osai be a part of this program, be a part of his university, you know, he takes just as much pride as he does being one of our, you know, our leaders on the basketball court as he does an ambassador for JU. You know, when you look at pictures, whether they're on Twitter or whatever it may be, oftentimes he's doing something in the community. He's a guy that, you know, he never really thinks about himself. He's really selfless. You know, he worries about everybody around him and making sure that, you know, the people around him are successful. And that's the type of person that you want to be involved with. That's the type of person you want to represent, you know, your university and ultimately represent your team. And so it's been a blessing to have him come here. Like I said, he wanted to build something special. And he's a special guy.
Understanding that it's more than one person always, it takes a group in order to come together and accomplish some of the things that this group has been able to do so far this year. But when you're assembling a team that is, you brought it up in the first segment, you know, three guys who are close friends, Tyrese, Kevion, Bryce, those are the only three holdovers from last year. So when you're assembling a team of guys that are coming from all over the country, you know, shaking each other's hands, introducing themselves to each other, and then trying to come together and play together as a basketball team in less than a year's notice, how can having someone like Osai and what he brings to the table really help bridge all of those different personalities and people together?
He's a resource, you know, as far as being able to guys to be able to ask questions, especially about the character of myself. You know, I was a fairly new head coach. You know, a lot of guys have questions. You know, how is he on the court? How is he with X and O's? Does he really care about us? And Osai is a person that they can use as a reference point. They can go ask him, say, hey, you know, I know he's saying these things to me, but tell me a little bit more about Coach Mincy. Is he really the guy that he say he is? And is he going to be able to help us grow not only as basketball players, but as men? And so, for us, we feel like that was a cheat code. You know, we talk about, you know, a guy who knows who you are, a guy who knows what, you know, you want this program to be. Well, Osai comes from a program and he was there, you know, day to day in practice with me. He knows the level of intensity that I bring to a practice. He knows how I want our guys to prepare and how hard we have to go, not only in practice, but, you know, after hours, you know, put in work on your own. And so he was able to bring that mentality to our program. And he was able, you know, to be, like I said, a not necessarily a coach, but he's a player coach, you know, a guy who knows what it takes to be successful and to win games. And like I said, he's been a huge piece to developing that culture that we want here at JU.
A big piece. Appreciate Osai for joining us in the last segment. He's head coach Jordan Mincy. I'm Scott Manzi, and we are wrapping things up in this week's edition of True Talk with Coach Mincy on 1010XL. Not at Island Wing Company tonight. We'll be back next Monday night, 6 to 7 o'clock from Island Wing Company in Tinseltown. Hope to see you all join us out there as the season starts coming toward its conclusion. Just 4 conference games left now, Coach. Unbelievable to think that we're at this point. It is really kind of grind time when it comes down to it. 4 games left, and 3 of them, is that right? Am I doing my math? No, two of them will be at home. 2 of them on the road. On the road on Wednesday at Stetson, and then back at home on Saturday evening to face off against Kennesaw State. A team in Stetson that the Dolphins bested earlier this year. A team in Kennesaw State on the road that JU fell to earlier this year. So a chance to try and bounce back in one situation and accomplish a season sweep in the other. That was a long time ago, that Stetson game. Yes. So as you're preparing for that one this week, this is a different group, right, that you're playing against and playing with from that game that was very early on in January, just the second conference game of the year the last time these two teams faced off?
It's definitely a different group. You know, those guys playing with a level of confidence that's very different than when we first played them. You know, I think it was an initial shock to them when they had first lost Rob Perry, you know, all-league guy. And so, you know, they had, you know, some character and role definition that, you know, they had to change. And so, you know, a lot of those guys are now stepping up. I mean, you look and see that, you know, a couple games ago, they beat Jacksonville State at home.
Yeah.
And so we know how big of a challenge that is. And being able to know that you face off against both those opponents and to see how they were able to play not only on the offensive end but defensive end and hold a team like that, you know, to a limited amount of points in the second half, it shows you that they're a different team. And so we know it's going to be a dog fight when we go down there. We have a great amount of respect for Coach Jones, and we know he's been, you know, coaching for a long time. And to be able to come out with a victory at Stetson, like I said, you have to play your best basketball, and we know it's going to be a dog fight.
Two guys, years apart, of course, but with Florida ties, both having been assistants at the University of Florida over the years. Donnie Jones on Billy Donovan's staff back in the day before he got his first head coaching position at Marshall. And this, you know, do you guys have a relationship stemming from years in the past because of the connection there?
We do. Coach Jones, he's really close to me. We talk basketball oftentimes. You know, a lot of times University of Florida hosts his coaches clinic. Mm-hmm. And we would meet down there, and, you know, he's always been a person that you could sit down and conversate about. And like I said, he has a wealth of knowledge. He's been in different scenarios, whether as assist coach or head coach. He's seen a lot of games from a basketball standpoint. And so, you know, when you're on the sideline going against him, he's always going to have a different approach. He's great with the X and O's, and he understands how to put scores in situations to score the ball. And so that's why they're always difficult to be able to prepare for. And he does a great job with, you know, the players he has. And like I said, you lose an all-league guy, and you see that they're still playing some of their best basketball this late in the season.
That game is at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night at the Edmonds Center in DeLand. Jacksonville facing off against Stetson, going for the season sweep on Wednesday. And we'll have the broadcast for you here on 1010XL, pregame starting at 6:45. My partner Artis Gilmore has assured me he is in for that one after missing out on last night. He was so bummed after the game that he could not be there. Had a minor procedure done on his knee, was at home elevating but listening to the game, and he had some fun remotely last night, on Saturday night, hearing Jacksonville get that big win over Liberty. But hope to see him down there in DeLand with me on Wednesday evening. And then quickly, just briefly, and looking ahead to Saturday and a second matchup with the Kennesaw State Owls as well, a loss that first time up there in the Convocation Center. It's part of that really tough stretch of four straight road games. And this is a group that plays a unique style, maybe not quite Eastern Kentucky, but they do a little bit of that pressure on defense. They try and get at you some of their speed and athleticism on offense, and gave us some troubles in that first matchup. How are you trying to balance things out a little bit differently the second time around?
You know what? It was part of our tough stretch. You know, our guys, we were a little gassed. I think we ran out of gas down there. But, you know, still give credit to Kennesaw State and their level of execution, especially down the stretch. I believe we came within 3 points in the last 2 minutes of the game, and they were able to hold on to the lead. They were able to execute, and ultimately they were able to get to the free throw line and make shots. And so we know they're going to be a challenge. You know, they've had, you know, a couple of games where they've been very successful, and then if you look at some of their losses, they've been by, you know, 1 or 2 points. Mm-hmm. I believe they lost to Eastern Kentucky in 3 overtime games, yeah, by yeah, you know, 2 points or 1 point. And then they recently lost to North Florida by 2. But like I said, I know they're, you know, when you play Kennesaw State, it's never an easy game. You know, I know their head coach very well, Amir Durain. We're extremely close. We actually worked together at the College of Charleston. And so I know he's always going to have those guys ready to go. And like I said, they've been a group that's been together for, you know, 2 or 3 years. And so when you play them, you know you're going to get their best shot. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they obviously took care of us down there. And so we had to return the favor down here.
Well, I know here we are. You all treat it kind of one game at a time, prep and stuff like that. But how much in the back of your mind are you starting to think postseason at this point, with just 4 games to go, as the picture starts to, it's not solidified by any stretch of the imagination, but it starts to clear out as what those scenarios may end up looking like? And, I mean, for you, it's a little nice because you've never coached in this league before, so you have no preconceived notions about this conference tournament. For me, a guy who's been here for a while, I'm like, I got to erase everything I've ever known about how this ASUN conference tournament works and learn a whole new format this year. It's crazy. It involves a first round. You can get a bye if you're a top 2 seed in the division. There's cross divisional play. I mean, it makes sense, but you kind of have to sit down and study it for a little bit. But are you all starting to think a little bit about conference tournament preparations and things like that? Just at least, maybe not bothering the players with it, but thinking about it from a staff perspective?
You know what? Guilty as charged, we haven't. We, like you said, Scott.
You're leaving that to Jack, the ops guy, right?
We're leaving like, the Jack, the ops guy. It's so many scenarios, and it's such a tight race going down the stretch. I mean, you look at Florida Gulf Coast. They have a very favorable schedule. down the stretch. And they won four in a row. They're playing some of their best basketball. North Florida, they're playing some of their best basketball. We have them at home, and they're an entirely different team than we play early in the year. You know, we play them right at Stetson. And two of those, even though they're two of our last four games, those teams are entirely different than the teams that we face early in the season. So, for us, I say it's game by game. It starts at Stetson, which we know is going to be a hard place to play. But like I said, if we can handle our business, continue to play the way that we're supposed to play, we feel like I said, everything will take care of itself.
Well, we'll see how things shake out. A lot, like you said, scenarios still to play. The East Division is as challenging as it's been all year. One big opponent to fell already taken care of with the Liberty Flames on Saturday night, with Jacksonville coming away with a 73-69 victory at home to move to 12-0 at Swisher Gym this season. It's been a lot of fun. We're hoping there's more fun still to come. We've got two more games this week, one on the road Wednesday night at Stetson, 7 o'clock tip, and then on Saturday night at home, Swisher Gym, 6 o'clock tip-off against Kennesaw State. That's also senior night, so we hope to see you out there at Swisher, and if you can't make it out, we'll have the calls for you right here on 1010XL. All right, want to thank everybody involved with this program this week for our previous guests earlier in the program, Osai Osifo, for Matt LeVay back in the 1010XL studios, and for head coach Jordan Mincy. I'm Scott Manzi saying so long from this episode of True Talk with Coach Mincy. We look forward to bringing you two more big games for Jacksonville basketball this week here on the flagship station of the Jacksonville Dolphins, 1010XL.